بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فيه رجال يحبون أن يتطهروا. صدق الله العظيم. We are discussing the chapter on purity, and purity starts from the toilet. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Every action is judged by one's intention. One of our pious predecessors mentioned going to toilet in accordance to the sunnah method is more rewarding than performing two rakats of salah against the sunnah. Going to toilet in according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is more rewarding than performing two rakats of salah contrary to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is filled with nur and great reward if only we can understand. A few weeks ago, in the Sipingo Beach Masjid, there was a program that was held over 2 weeks. And the program was conducted by Mufti Zakaria Magda, who is one of the senior ustads of the madrasa teaching hadith. And what was the program? Istinja, wuzu and ghusl. That was the program. In a place where there are so many ulama, a place where ulama are being produced. So in that place, they felt the need to discuss istinja, wuzu and ghusl. Now in the Isha Salah we read, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind, for a reminder, is beneficial. Mudhakara, revision is so important. It's important for us as men, and it's important also for us to do as men with our women folk at home. This revision of the basics with our children at home, it's absolutely imperative. I remember in the Khanqah, every year, the same topics were discussed. And what were those topics? Istinja, wuzu, ghusl and salah. Every year without fail. And Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Mia Rahmatullah Alayhi, I remember very clearly, even his bayans also were the same bayans he would give on the same topics. And you realize over time that there is a need for me to apply myself more in these things. Even our Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Salihji Daun Barakatuh, if you listen to him, his talks over time, you'll find he has a certain range of topics and he talks about the same thing over and over. So our deen is perfect. We have to perfect ourselves. Everything has been spelled out. All we have to do is now adopt it and adapt to it. InshaAllah, with that intention, Allah Ta'ala will give us complete reward. A man is sitting in a toilet, but in the toilet he's getting reward. His toilet is ibadat. His istinja is ibadat. So we spoke about covering the head and covering the feet. And we mentioned that point that Hazrat Maulana Harun Abbas Umar Rahmatullahi mentioned, that deen that teaches us to cover our heads in the toilet, how can we come to the masjid then with our heads uncovered? If we have to cover our heads in the toilet and coming to the masjid with our heads uncovered. Unfortunately, we find there's a lot of ghaflat. These basic teachings, left foot, right foot, left and right, eat with the right hand, drink with the right hand. You find how much of ghaflat there is. And if you just notice it, it's so heartbreaking. Sometimes in a function, a man is perfectly able, but he chooses to drink with his left hand. He'll eat with his right hand, he'll drink with his left hand. Why not eating and drinking with your right hand? He says, no, I don't want to mess the utensil. So I'm drinking with my left hand. So he is spoiling the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by not drinking with his right hand. While they say, let the utensil become messed, no problem. Any which way it will have to be washed. Any which way. Whether it looks clean too, they're still going to wash it. But don't mess the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this, even coming in the masjid, it pains my heart. Involuntarily, sometimes you notice, you do an observation, a survey. Who is leaving the masjid with the correct foot? Entering with the right, leaving with the left. So who is doing that? So we can't observe it in a masjid. How are we going to be observing it in the toilet? When we are eating, just my mind is running now, so we just understand. The ghaflat has to come out. Man is so preoccupied. His wife is talking to him. He doesn't know what she said. His child is talking to him. He doesn't know what the child said. Because he's so preoccupied with his own mind. So we mustn't be so preoccupied. Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Allahu Akbar. They were so preoccupied with akhirat and salah, they didn't know what was happening around them. They didn't know. Once there was a tremor in Gangor. And Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gogoi Rahmatullahi, I always mention him because he was one of our very great senior luminaries of the recent past. Very, very great senior luminary. And he was the disciple, the murid of Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullahi. Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullahi was a very, very great, pious saint. Under him was Hazrat Maulana, two famous ulama, Maulana Qasim Nanotwi, the founder of Darul Ulum Dioban, Rahmatullahi, and Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi. Great, great, very great people. In the academic circles, Islamic academic circles, are known to be very, very great luminaries. So, there was a tremor in Gangor. So, Maulana was performing his salah at that time. His son came running to check on his father. His father completed the salah. He looked at his son. His son said, "Did you notice the tremor?" He said, "All I know is the door closed on its own, that's all. Door, the gate got shut. I don't know what else happened." So absorbed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so absorbed in our tilawat, so absorbed in our dua. That is something praiseworthy. But so absorbed in our thoughts that we don't know what's happening around, that is not good. To the extent that we are leaving out the sunnah. So I say that one of the tests that we do on ourselves is, when I eat, do I say Bismillah? We know we're eating with the right hand. We have formed the habit. But do we remember to say Bismillah, Bismillah wa ala barakatillah? That is one test we can do. When I go to toilet, do I remember to read the dua? Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. So this is one important aspect to remove this ghaflat, so that once again, we can bring the joy of practicing upon these sunnats. They say if a person was to gain concentration in his salah, then all he has to do is become conscious of his actions. How are my hands at the time of takbir? Where am I placing my hands? I'm reciting, what am I reciting? You can go one step further and learn the translation at least. When I go into ruku, what am I reciting? The basic translation. So all it requires is to move from a state of ghafla. Now in salah too, he's absorbed in his thoughts. To move from a state of ghafla to a state of consciousness, unmindfulness to mindfulness, being conscious of Allah. Then see what a flavor that salah has. When a person makes dua like that also, then see what a flavor that dua has. So we're talking about the toilet, we branched off from the point of being conscious of fulfilling the sunnahs of the toilet. MashaAllah, I'm covering my head, I'm wearing my shoes, I have formed a habit of doing it. But now consciously, I'm practicing on the sunnah. This will become ibadah. Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. I'll enter the toilet with the left foot. So that is one of the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If a person wants to be protected and veiled from the shayateen, then he should say Bismillah before reciting the dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from the male and the female jinnat. So the Bismillah is a protection for that. Before entering the toilet, a person should ensure that any item upon which the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or an ayat of the Quran and Majid is written, example a ring or a chain, that should be removed. Likewise, some people, they keep these things on their phone. The name of Allah Ta'ala, the name of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It can happen that a message comes and then the screen comes on and Allah Ta'ala's name is there. So we should be conscious of that. Sometimes the rings, we're wearing some rings, so we need to be conscious of it. You can forget very quickly that we're wearing it and we're going in the toilet with it. So that is against the respect. And as I said, there are ahadith for all of this. Then a person should enter the toilet. I have heard that one, we enter the toilet with the left foot. And then if we're stepping, especially for the low pan, so when we need to step to the steps that are placed for the low pan toilet, then we should place our left foot also first. There too we should place the left foot and then place the right foot. So on that low pan also. And then only when we are close to the ground, then should a person remove his lower garment. A person shouldn't become nude, naked in the toilet. A person should try to conceal himself to the best of his ability. Even to this extent, it is mentioned that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to relieve himself, he would not raise his lower garment until he drew close to the ground. So a person should not remove his lower garment until he is almost in the sitting posture, and then he removes the lower garment. One should not face the Qibla, and the back should not face towards the Qibla. One of my ustads mentioned, he went for Umrah, and he said, he found it a bit odd. The toilet was placed in a very odd position, directly facing the Qibla. Like how we would see that we should make the toilet face away from the Qibla. He said, there looks like they've intentionally made the toilet face towards the Qibla. So we should be very careful of this. If a toilet is facing towards the Qibla, it's built like that. Example, we went to a hotel, then we should try and at least slightly turn away, that much. Turn away while sitting. It's a bit uncomfortable if you're using the iPad. Try and turn slightly away from the direction of the Qibla. This is specifically mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that فَلَا يَسْتَقْبِلِ الْقِبْلَةَ, and he should not face the Qibla and face his back towards the Qibla. This is disrespectful towards the Qibla. When a person is in the toilet, he should not be speaking in the toilet unless there's an extreme need to speak out of an emergency and a need. Some people are taking phone calls in a toilet, taking a call in a toilet, or messaging in a toilet, browsing or messaging. So this now one shouldn't do. One shouldn't be texting, browsing, messaging, magazines. You know, the non-Muslims, they made it a trend, take the newspaper in a toilet. So they promoted it also. They promoted it. However, in the television, in the adverts, in the advertisements. So what happens, whatever they do, then it influences us. But we find in our deen, then it's not allowed. No magazines in the toilet. So a person goes there for his purpose, cleanses himself, and he comes out. It's not a place for a person to waste time. Sometimes the staff, they just go and sit there in the toilet. They're just wasting time. They're not doing anything. The toilet is a place that's inhabited by the jinnat, by evil shayateen. It's not a place for a Muslim. Some people say, that's my thinking place. The best thoughts I get in the toilet. So, not the place for us, for Muslims. The best place is the masjid. If you need to think, come and spend time in the house of Allah Ta'ala in seclusion. If a person is having those types of thoughts, it's because he's in seclusion, that's why. He needs alone time. Not the toilet is the place. He must come and make i'tikaf a little bit. And see what thoughts Allah Ta'ala will put in his mind. Make some zikr, make some i'tikaf. Nevertheless, so a person shouldn't be talking unless there is a need for him to speak. Nowadays, just to branch off, there are those istinja hoses, but I found that often a person, if it hasn't been adjusted correctly, etc., person is a first time user, doesn't know how to use these things, then it causes more of a mess. Especially in a low pan now, you sprayed it, and it hit the ceramic, hit the floor or something, splashed on you, person ends up feeling more impure. So someone like me would be more comfortable with the old system, the lota and the jug system. Right? But whoever knows about it, then I remember when we went for Umrah also, that thing was leaking. Number one, it was leaking. That was a problem. The other thing was to get the adjustment right. So sometimes it makes you feel like you're more impure because you sprayed and it shot out, and then there was a splashback, and you're not sure now whether the splashback was from the toilet bowl, the impurity, and you feel a bit napak after that. So just be careful when we're using that spray hose, that it's adjusted correctly. While in the toilet, one should not make any zikr verbally. If you sneeze, you should not make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala by saying Alhamdulillah. You can say it in your heart. If someone greets, then you shouldn't reply to the greeting, the salam, in the toilet. I've heard some ulama mention, although I haven't seen it myself in a kitab, the dua when coming upon, oh Allah, forgive me. So they asked this question, why did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say, oh Allah, forgive me? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came out of the toilet. So what sin did we do in the toilet? You can understand, Alhamdulillah, oh Allah, I praise you. But, oh Allah, forgive me, what wrong did you do? So they say that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was constantly in the zikr of Allah. That perhaps it could have happened that involuntarily I had taken Allah Ta'ala's name in the toilet. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ghufranak. Oh Allah, forgive me if I, by chance, involuntarily, because it was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's constant habit in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala all the time. One should not eat or drink in the toilet. We'll find it disgusting, eating and drinking in the toilet. But sometimes we find some people, they go and eat their chocolates in the toilet. They go eat the chips and the chocolates. The children, sometimes they have this. We tell them, no, the toilet is not a place for us to eat. Do not look at the sky. Ramadan also, the people are fasting time. So now, going and eating in the toilet, Muslims. Right? One Maulana was saying, it was someone was telling us that they were out in Jamaat, Ramadan. See, we went in the toilet, the youngster used the toilet, you can smell the cigarette smoke. See, something happened here. That's another thing, smoking now, the toilet is a place to smoke, you know. That's another topic. But anyway, so we avoid wasting time in the toilet. Wasting time, right? So the toilet, for some reason, became like a private space. So the non-Muslims, they made it like a private space. Someone wants to sleep in a toilet, someone wants to smoke in a toilet, someone wants to eat in a toilet, not a Muslim. Muslim, you see, the toilet is a disgusting place. So someone said that, see, we haven't seen the toilets overseas, that's why. Our toilets are sparkling clean, you see. Come to our masjid toilets, for example, you see, clean, brand new, clean, shining. So the people that came from overseas, they say, your toilets are so clean. This is like our plate, you know. It's so clean. They say, if you want to see toilet, you understand what is toilet. You must come see our country, what is a toilet. Then you'll understand what is napak jagah, like, you know, dirty place. So you'll understand. Doesn't smell good, doesn't look good also. And naturally, you don't want to spend time there. Naturally, you just want to get out of there. So that is a toilet. So one in the toilet should not look at the sky and should not look at one's private parts or the stool and urine while relieving oneself. This is also the teaching of Islam. You don't look up at the sky in the toilet, and one shouldn't be looking at his private parts and stool and urine while relieving oneself. You know, on this note, I just want to mention something. When we were also studying, you know, we've seen some old people, pious people in the past, even if they're bathing, they'll make sure they wear the loincloth, the lungi, bath with the lungi. One is, like a lot of countries, we were studying with Thailand boys, so they were telling us about in their country how the madrasas are. They say they have a house, they have a pond. You go and bath, there's no bathrooms. Everybody baths in the pond. There's a good few people there, everyone stands with their loincloth, with their lungi, all men. Bathing with your lungi on, you're bathing. But there were some pious people in the past, they had so much of haya, even in the bathroom also, make sure they wear the lungi. Now again, there's this trend now. So a person is standing nude and he's looking at himself in the mirror now. He's checking himself out, you know. So, if there's a medical reason, there's some genuine reason. But otherwise, out of haya and modesty, shyness, then a person should avoid this. Should avoid, even in a toilet also, unnecessarily. See, medical reason, right? For some medical reason, he needs to check whatever, color of the urine, stool, whatever it is, right? For some medical reason, he's doing a check. He needs to do a urine test, whatever. That's a different thing. But other than that, unnecessarily, shouldn't be looking at that area. Why? Out of haya and modesty. It also has an asar on a person. It has an asar. Nowadays, with the amount of fitnas around, especially children growing up, we teach them this. Teach them this, you know. We know how much of things are happening, how much of wrong things are happening also. So if a person is so shy to even look at himself unnecessarily, so where is he going to play with himself unnecessarily, you know? These are realities. It's realities that are happening. A person is standing, wasting time in a bathroom, looking at himself. So shaitan can play with his mind. So when a person is in the toilet, then he shouldn't look at the sky and his private parts, the urine and the stool. And the last one for today before we conclude, the best position to relieve oneself is the squatting position. And for men to stand and relieve themselves, urinating, standing, that is makruh. Unless there is a severe need, some medical reason why a person can't sit, severe need under circumstances, then that will be different. Otherwise, we are advised at all times to sit and urinate. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to practice upon the beautiful sunnats of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.